Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. And our text is going to be verses 9 through 17, but for the sake of context this morning, I'll be reading from verse 1 all the way through verse 17. And keep in mind as well that in your outlines there is a little structure of our text today. And you may want to keep that handy as we as you listen to the sermon this morning. John 15, beginning at verse 1, and let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Thus the reading of God's word from 1 John chapter 15. In the first 8 verses of John chapter 15, Jesus speaks of the vine and the branches. And when Jesus proclaims in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches," he means that the vine and the people, he is the vine and the people, his disciples and his church, are the branches. And you know that you are a branch if you are attached to the vine and bear fruit. That's the end of verse 5. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we are commanded that according to the Father's glory, in verse 8, you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, one thing that is not addressed in the first 8 verses is how do you bear fruit? We're told he is the vine. We're told we are the branches. We're told that we must bear fruit. But what does that fruit look like? And how is it that we as Christians, or we who belong to Christ, are to bear that fruit? And in the next verses, our text this morning, verses 9 through 17, our Lord addresses those issues. And if you looked on your outlines this morning, you can see that it's divided up into 2 particular sections. The first verses, verses 9 through 11, are set in sort of a stair-step kind of mode, in which our Lord describes for us what we as his people, as individuals, must do to bear that fruit. In the second part of the structure, verses 12 through 17, you notice there is an inclusio structure. That means verse 12, the beginning of that structure, is repeated, or a portion of it is almost exactly repeated in verse 17. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 17, this is my commandment, love one another. A parallel structure with something meaningful in the middle. But that does not mean that the second half of the structure is separated from the first half of the structure. In the stair-step structure of verses 9 through 17, we have what we as individuals must do to bear fruit. But in the second half of the structure, Jesus recognizes that as branches and a vine, we're not just talking about one branch, but there are many branches on that vine, and as many branches, we must also bear fruit. So let's take a more careful look at the flow of this second half of John 15, as together we look at the structure and how Jesus lays out for us in terms of the fruit. Now, as I said a moment ago, the first half of this structure is verses 9 through 11. And on your outlines, I have laid it out for you, or pointed out that the structure is laid out in sort of a stair-step way. That means in verse 9, Jesus makes a statement, abide in his love. In verse 10, he carries that statement, or what he means, a step further. Obey his commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in his love means you obey his commandments. And verse 11 goes even one step further, that if you are abiding in him and obeying his commandments, your joy be made complete. So as we begin with verse 9, we have to recognize, first of all, where our abiding in him comes from. Now you notice verse 9 begins, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. As we bear fruit, where does that fruit come from? Well, it is based, according to verse 9 and the following verses, in love. Notice how many times the word love is used in these verses. Verse 9 includes the word love 3 times. The Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. 5 times the word love is used, and the first time it is used, it is a description between the Father and the Son. The Father loves the Son. As the Father has loved the Son, so, declares the Son, have I loved you, my people. Now remain in my love. Why is this important? Because abiding in Christ, or being a branch of the vine, is not something you do or that starts with you. It is something that starts with God. The love of the Father has for the Son. The love from the Father to the Son flows to the branches, flows to the people. So says Jesus, as I have loved you. And you notice that as this portion of Scripture concludes in chapter 15, verse 16 speaks specifically about election. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. You have been chosen by God. Christ chose you. And so as the Father loves the Son, and the love of the Father flows from the Son to the people, so has the Son chosen you. And as a branch, you grow from him as part of the vine. You don't, as a branch, say, well, I'm supposed to remain in my love, so I'll attach myself to the vine. No, the vine or the branch grows from the vine, and as the vine, you are to remain, as the branch in the vine, you are to remain in his love. Well, how do you then remain in his love? Jesus tells us in verse 10. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. Sounds pretty simple. If you want to remain in the love of Christ and the love of the Father, obey his commandments. But that's not all he tells you. The second half of that verse is connected to the first half. How are you to keep the commandments? Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. As Jesus speaks of the people and what they're supposed to do, what they do flows out of what he has already done. Jesus declares, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands. Well, who could ever keep the commands as the Son has kept the commands? We are sinners. We are born in sin. And even though we are sinners and know what God's law says, there is no way by our own works, by our own efforts, all on our own, that we can perfectly keep the commands of God as the Son has kept those commands. That's why Jesus adds a second part to verse 10 as he describes what it means to be a fruit-bearing branch. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. That means you understand that Christ has lived a perfectly righteous life. And as you have faith in him as a branch, his righteousness is now yours. And if you are going to abide in him and obey his commands, you understand the union that you have with him and that his righteousness is yours. And as someone who belongs to the Father through the Son and is a branch that is connected to the vine, the Son, you live out his commands. Now, this issue has been addressed before in chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Sounds like what he's saying in chapter 15, 10. Also notice verse 21 of chapter 14. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. When you love God, when you love the Son, you have a passion for him. It's in your heart. It's not something you have to do or motivate yourself to do or somehow by your own effort obey to demonstrate that you are a fruit-bearing branch. This is something that Christ has done for you. And because Christ has died on the cross and forgiven your sins, because Christ's righteousness is now yours, you are one of those branches. And your heart has been made right with God. And because of all those things, you obey his commands as a fruit-bearing branch. Now you say to yourself, well, what does that mean, keeping his commands? Well, if you understand what it means to be part of that branch, obeying God's law will come natural to you because you know him and you love him more than anything else. Now, in an earlier sermon, we went through those two commands and I kind of directed you as to what that meant. But you may have remembered, for example, I mentioned the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. If you understand what this means in terms of your union with God, his righteousness is yours. You are already, even though you're still on earth, connected to Him and living before Him. There'll be nothing in your life more important to you than God. You will have no other gods. God will be your focus. Everything else will pale in comparison. You will never think of an earthly image, commandment 2, as something that could compare to God or that you could worship God through, because God is the creator and His creation is only a part of His creation. You would never worship it or worship God through it. You would never use the name of God in vain, for you live before God, you stand before Him, and you would never use His name in a way that is meaningless or does not affect or reflects that you do not believe in Him or recognize who He is. This is what we mean in terms of a fruit-bearing branch. The love in your heart for God is so great. The love you have for the Savior is so great. Your desire to abide in Him and remain in His Word through the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word and in your communication to Him and your prayers and your partaking of the sacraments, all those things are remaining in Him and abiding in Him as a fruit-bearing branch who demonstrates that you belong to Him, to the world around you. Well, as you come to verse 11, you see that in our stair-step structure, Jesus then describes for us what exactly that means for your life. If you know these things and you believe these things in terms of a fruit-bearing branch, what does Jesus say in verse 11? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Now you think to yourself, okay, in this sermon or in this farewell address in John 14 through 17, as Jesus addresses His disciples before He is arrested, Judas has already left and it's made his betrayal, chapter 13. He's gone to get the authorities. Jesus knows that He's ready to go to the cross. And what does He say, verse 11? I have told you this so my joy may be in you. Now, as a believer, that may surprise you. Well, Jesus is going for suffering. Jesus is going to die on the cross. What joy can He find in that? His life isn't going to be happy. His life on earth is going to be a struggle and filled with pain and sacrifice and even death. But He tells you, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. His joy is in His relationship with the Father. His joy is in His perfect obedience to the Father. His joy is His understanding that He and the Father are one, and He is going to the cross as the second person of the Trinity to fulfill what the Father has decreed and to bring salvation for all of His people. And so what happens to Him on earth, what is about to happen to Him on earth, doesn't matter. He is one with the Father. He has joy with the Father. And He tells us in verse 11 that He has told us about what it means to remain in Him and to be a fruit-bearing branch so that His joy may be in you. And He tells them that your joy may be complete. Now, there are a lot of Christians who do not have much joy in their life. They know about salvation, they know about Jesus, but when it comes to being joyful, and thankful, they instead look around at their life and see all kinds of things to be unhappy about. I wish this was different. I wish this situation had gone this way. I wish that this was different. And if this had been different, I would be joyful and happy. But it's not turning out that way. And I've prayed about it, and it doesn't happen. Well, as Jesus here speaks of joy, as he speaks of the joy of a fruit-bearing branch, he is speaking about a Christian whose life may not be going exactly as they want or as they had hoped or is as easy as they want, but their joy is complete in him. My joy may be in you. He is speaking in terms of going to the cross. He's dying on the cross. He's headed there. His friend Judas has betrayed him, one of his own disciples. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be kissed by that one disciple. He's going to the cross to be beaten and flogged and to die and be nailed to a cross. And he has joy. And he has joy because his joy is not found through the circumstances and things on this earth, but his joy is found in his relationship with his Father in heaven and the salvation that God has ordained him to fulfill. And his prayer is that your joy, his joy, may be your joy. And as you know that joy, it will be complete. There is no greater blessing that when you see and meet a believer or recognize one who understands this. Their earthly circumstances, sad. The things they have to deal with in life, difficult. But their face, their mind, their speech is filled with joy in Christ. That's the kind of joy that Jesus is speaking of. That's the kind of joy that you want to find in a fruit-bearing branch. They find joy no matter what the circumstances because they know that Christ has died for them. They know that Christ has obeyed for them. They know that Christ belongs, they belong to him, and all of his righteousness and forgiveness is theirs. That's joy in Christ and in God. But you notice as we go on in our structure, Jesus is not finished with this theme of love. He has spoken, first of all, love in verse 9, as the Father loved me, so I've loved you and remain in my love. In verse 10, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. But now moving on with that word love from what we think of as an individual branch, he speaks in verse 12 and verse 17 of many branches. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. When we think of a vine and the branches as Jesus is describing in chapter 15, he's not just describing an individual branch. He is describing as the vine and the branches that flow from that vine. And one of the fruits that is found on all of those branches is not only his love for individuals and their love for him, but he tells us two times their love for each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love each other. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. It's not just about an individual branch and an individual fruit. In the second half of this structure, he's speaking in terms of a lot of branches, of a lot of fruit-bearing branches that the world will see and know that it's part of the vine and part of his kingdom. Well, how is it then that we're to love each other? How is it then that this command is fulfilled? Well, you notice that in the center of this structure, Jesus describes exactly how this takes place. Again, verse 13, it starts with him. Greater love hath no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus is about to do. He is going to lay down his life for his friends. And guess what, verse 14? You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, nowhere else in John's gospel has he described the disciples as friends. He's described them as his disciples, his followers, but now he's putting them at a different level. They are his friends. And how do you know you are a friend of Christ, a friend with the Son of God, if you do what I command? Now, in those first verses, 9 through 11, we already described what Jesus meant by doing what he commands. It flows out of your union with him, that you belong to him, you live out those commands, and you can tell who belongs to Christ and who is his friend, who he's given his life for, and that they not only recognize what Christ has done for them, but they are willing to do it for one another. What does it mean to be a friend of Christ? Verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Some of your translations use the word slave, and I think that is more accurate than servants from the Greek word. But what Jesus is saying is this. They have been described as his slaves or as his servants as they have followed him. But servants or slaves, they don't know the master's business. They do what the master says, but they're not involved in his plan, in his business, in what he's doing, and how he makes money, and how he runs the household or the farm or the ranch or whatever it is. But guess what? The Son of God has come to earth, and he has made his plan the Father and the Son's business known to you, and you are now part of it as his friend. He has told you, he has told the disciples, he's going to die on the cross and pay for their sins. He has told them, he's told the disciples, that they as his people will have his righteousness given to them and be completely forgiven and are at one with him. He's told them all these things. They will know all these things, and they will now be part of that plan. He's going to heaven. And as his servants, as his disciples, as you are his church, you are part of that plan as a friend of the Son of God. Well, what does that mean then for you? Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So often as Christians, we think of our relationship with God in terms of our own selves. He's chosen me. I belong to Him. I'm saved. But what does He say in regards to His plan? You didn't choose me. I chose you. And guess what? The reason I chose you is because I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Do you see how he's carried on his thought in this second part of our structure? This isn't just about an individual branch and what that individual branch must do to bear fruit. There's a reason he's chosen you. There's a reason that you're a branch. And part of the duty of being a branch is that you go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Have you thought much about that? We like to think that we've been elected or chosen for ourselves. But Jesus is saying, I chose you to bear fruit so the world would see me in you. And do you see that last part of verse 16? Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. There it is again. We've seen that before. That phrase, it's popped up again. We found it in chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And some people read that verse and say, well, what Jesus is saying is pray for whatever we want, and God will give it. We want a new car, we want a new house, whatever it is, pray, ask in his name, and you'll get it. Do you see how individual and selfish that thinking is? When Jesus brings that up again at the end of verse 16, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He is speaking in terms of they as friends who understand his mission, that he has come to bring salvation to his people and that they must bear fruit. And when they pray and ask in his name, they ask with that understanding in mind. It is to the Father's glory that you bear fruit. It is to the glory of the Son in the world that you bear fruit. It is so others will see after Christ has gone and ascended to heaven that Christ is still alive in this world. He is present in his people. My command is this: love each other as I loved you. This is my command: love each other. He is alive. He is real. His presence, his sacrifice is amongst his own people as they bear fruit and as the world sees that they are different from those who hate him. And that's what Jesus speaks about at the end, the closing verses of this chapter. As we think in terms of what it means to bear fruit, we think of our Savior. As we think in terms of what it means as individuals who keep his commands as our own fruit-bearing branch, we think in terms of our Savior. But we must also think in corporate terms, that our life is a reflection
of our Savior. That we aren't in this alone, but the world must see and know that in His church, Christ is alive and present, and that these people are friends in Christ. Maybe you've been at some point in your life in a place or surrounded by unbelievers, people who do not know or understand any of these things. And then you come across a person, or you happen to meet someone or hear of one that does know and does understand. And you come to realize that you and that fellow believer are on a different mindset, a different page than any of the others around you. You have a friendship, a kinship in Christ that the world does not know, that the world does not understand. And together, you bear fruit, and they will see you are different. This is what Jesus is speaking of in terms of the vine and the branches. How you as an individual branch have His joy. How you as a corporate branch demonstrate His love to one another so the world can see and know that Christ is alive and that they too would long to know Him and be part of His kingdom. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how this word speaks to us in terms of what it means to be a branch, in terms of what it means to bear fruit. We pray, O God, that through this teaching of our Lord, You may work in our hearts, that we too may be part of Your kingdom in such a way that the world around us will know and see that we are friends with the Son of God, that we are friends with one another, that this kingdom of which we know would be something that they too would desire and long to be part of. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.